And he says here to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, the church should not only be ready, but actually there should be a preparation and eagerness. And there's the negative side, we're to speak evil of no man. That means, as I understand it, that we are not to repeat gossip. Somebody said that you can't believe everything you hear today, but you can repeat it. And that's the thing I think he's talking about. Do you have proof for what you're saying about someone else? And then another thing has been said, that some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them. We should be very careful today to speak evil of no man. That is, unless we have proof, unless we know what we're talking about. And then I think he should be marked out. Remember, Paul marked him out when he knew what he was talking about. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He didn't mind saying that. Now, will you notice? He says here, for we ourselves also were once foolish. And this is a picture of the unsaved. It was a picture of our condition once. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living selfishly for self, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. My friend, that's the picture of the lost world today. You go into any neighborhood today, actually go into any unsaved home today, go into any business today, go into any office today, any factory today. These are the things that you see there. And unfortunately, you see some of this in some of our churches. You see this envying and hating. And yet they talk about so many places about loving one another. And I want to tell you, they're gossiping just as hard and fast as they can, broken up in little cliques and little groups, and then talking about how sound they are in the faith. I tell you, they're a disgrace to the cause of Christ. This is the picture of the unsaved, and it ought not to be a picture of your church and mine. Verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, now listen to this, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now, this was a picture of us before. But to become a Christian doesn't mean to turn over a new leaf, because you find out you write on that leaf just like you did on the old leaf. The idea of making new resolutions, promising to do better. It's too bad that your life was like it was before. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. You see, because Christ died for us and paid the penalty for our sins, God now is prepared to extend mercy to us, and it's according to his mercy he saved us, and he's rich in mercy. He has plenty of it. I don't care who you are. He can save you today because Christ died for you. The penalty has been paid, and he makes over to you his righteousness, and you stand complete in him. Then he says, by the washing of regeneration. Now, this word washing here is the laver of regeneration. The picture of the laver back in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And I believe what you have here is the same thing the Lord Jesus said in the third chapter of John. Born of water, you see, and of the Spirit. And the water represents the Word of God. Washing of regeneration. This Bible will wash you, you see. It has sanctifying power, cleansing power, cleansed by the Word of God, washing the laver of regeneration, so that what happens is the Spirit of God uses the Word of God, born of water and of the Spirit, laver of regeneration, and that's the way you're born again, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, and he regenerates you. That's the picture here. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And have you ever noticed that God always has a surplus of everything? Anything God does, there's surplus. When somebody says to me, You know, we prayed for so much money and the exact amount came in, and we know God did it. Believe me, I think if God was in it, he'd have given you a few more dollars. He generally does. That's the way he moves, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. When you read through the Bible, notice how many times God has a surplus. Abundantly, you know. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He doesn't just give you the exact amount, friends. He always has a surplus. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now again, he points to the hope of the believer, the coming of Christ for his church.